Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm China. Today is the 21st day of January. Welcome. So great to be here with you guys today. Maybe it's been kind of a busier day for you, and this is something that you either, you know, sit down and you really focus in on, or something that you have in the background. I know for Ben and myself, we love to have podcasts on for like long car rides, or like if we're cooking dinner together. Depends on if our daughter, Reagan, who's very chatty, is just chatting up a storm. And so if she's wanting to be the loudest one in the room, we won't have anything else on or else it's just chaos. But so if you like to have it on in the background while you're doing things, or something that you have in the forefront of your mind, maybe you have gone through today and you just need a second to just breathe. So I want to invite you to just take 3 deep breaths. Now, I'm not going to do it in the microphone because no one wants to hear a big exhale. I personally think those sounds are not my favorite. I don't know what it's called when you have the quote disorder of hating certain sounds and they like trigger responses in your bodies, but I for sure have that. I've always had that. I just don't like people deep breathing in my ears. So I wanted to save you that one. But now, may we enter into the Lord's word in a state where we are first and foremost present, but also just relaxed, where we're releasing the tension from our jaw. We are releasing the tension from our forehead. Release your shoulders and just focus in on what the Lord has for us today, and just focus in on his word. So today we are in Genesis 27 through 29, and we are in the New Living Translation for this week. One day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied. "I am an old man now," Isaac said, "and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die." But Rebekah overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, 'Bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die. Now, my son, listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks and bring me 2 fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies.' But look," Jacob replied to Rebekah, "my brother Esau is a hairy man and my skin is smooth. What if my father touches me? He'll see that I'm trying to trick him, and then he'll curse me instead of blessing me." But his mother replied, "Then let the curse fall on me, my son. Just do what I tell you. Go out and get the goats for me." So Jacob went out and got the young goats for his mother. Rebekah took them and prepared a delicious meal, just the way Isaac liked it. Then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were there in the house, and gave them to her younger son, Jacob. She covered his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of the young goats. Then she gave Jacob the delicious meal, including the freshly baked bread. So Jacob took the food to his father. "My father," he said. "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who are you, Esau or Jacob?" Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here is the wild game. Now sit up and eat it so you can give me your blessing." Isaac asked, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God put it in my path," Jacob replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come closer so I can touch you and make sure you really are Esau." So Jacob went closer to his father, and Isaac touched him. The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's, Isaac said. But he did not recognize Jacob, because Jacob's hands felt hairy just like Esau's. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. But are you really my son Esau? He asked. Yes, I am, Jacob replied. Then Isaac said, Now, my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you my blessing. So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said to Jacob, Please come a little closer and kiss me, my son. So Jacob went over and kissed him, and then Isaac caught the smell of his clothes. He was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvests of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt. Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. Then he said, Sit up, my father, and eat my wild game so you can give me your blessing. But Isaac asked him, Who are you? Esau replied, It's your son, your firstborn son, Esau. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, Then who just served me wild game? I've already eaten it, and I blessed him just before you came. And yes, that blessing must stand. When Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud cry and bitter cry. Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too, he begged. But Isaac said, Your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing. Esau exclaimed, No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me? Isaac said to Esau, I have made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I've guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son? Esau pleaded, But do you have only one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me, too. Then Esau broke down and wept. Finally, his father, Isaac, said to him, You will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by your sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. From that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing. And Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. But Rebekah heard about Esau's plans. So she sent for Jacob and told him, Listen, Esau is consoling himself by plotting to kill you. So listen carefully, my son. Get ready and flee to my brother, Laban, in Haran. Stay there with him until your brother cools off. When he calms down and forgets what you've done to him, I will send for you to come back. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm sick and tired of these local Hittite women. I would rather die than see Jacob marry one of them. So Isaac called for Jacob, blessed him, and said, You must not marry any of these Canaanite women. Instead, go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your grandfather Bethuel, and marry one of your uncle Laban's daughters. May God Almighty bless you and give you many children. And may your descendants multiply and become many nations. May God pass on to you and your descendants the blessings he promised to Abraham. May you own this land where you are now, living as a foreigner, for God gave this land to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to stay with his uncle Laban, his mother's brother, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean. Esau knew that his father Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him to Padan Aram to find a wife, and that he had warned Jacob, "You must not marry a Canaanite woman." He also knew that Jacob had obeyed his parents and gone to Padan Aram. It was now very clear to Esau that his father did not like the local Canaanite women. So Esau visited his uncle Ishmael's family and married one of Ishmael's daughters, in addition to the wives he already had. His new wife's name was Mahalath. She was the sister of Nebaioth and the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and to lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I've promised you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." But he was also afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head on against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow: "If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me." Then Jacob hurried on, finally arriving in the land of the east. He saw a well in the distance. Three flocks of sheep and goats lay in an open field beside it, waiting to be watered. But a heavy stone covered the mouth of the well. It was the custom there to wait for all the flocks to arrive before removing the stone and watering the animals. Afterward, the stone would be placed back over the mouth of the well. Jacob went over to the shepherds and asked, "Where are you from, my friends?" "We are from Haran," they answered. "Do you know a man there named Laban, the grandson of Nahor?" he asked. "Yes, we do," they replied. "Is he doing well?" Jacob asked. "Yes, he's well," they answered. "Look, here comes his daughter Rachel with the flock now." Jacob said, "Look, it's still broad daylight, too early to round up the animals. Why don't you water the sheep and goats so they can get back to the pasture?" "We can't water the animals until all the flocks have arrived," they replied. Then the shepherds move the stone from the mouth of the well, and we all water the sheep and goats. Jacob was still talking with them when Rachel arrived with her father's flock, for she was a shepherd. And because Rachel was his cousin, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and because the sheep and goats belonged to his uncle Laban, Jacob went over to the well and moved the stone from its mouth and watered his uncle's flock. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, and he wept aloud. He explained to Rachel that he was her cousin on her father's side, the son of her aunt Rebecca. So Rachel quickly ran and told her father, Laban. As soon as Laban heard that his nephew, Jacob, had arrived, He ran out to meet him. He embraced and kissed him and brought him home. When Jacob had told him his story, Laban exclaimed, "You really are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with Laban for about a month, Laban said to him, "You shouldn't work for me without pay, just because we are relatives. Tell me how much your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The older daughter was named Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. There was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, "I'll work for you for 7 years if you give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife." "Agreed," Laban replied. "I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay and work with me." So Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel, but his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Finally, the time came for him to marry her. "I have fulfilled my agreement," Jacob said to Laban. "Now give me my wife so I can sleep with her." So Laban invited everyone into the neighborhood and prepared a wedding feast. But that night, when it was dark, Laban took Leah to Jacob and he slept with her. Laban had given Leah a servant, Zilpah, to be her maid. But when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah. "What have you done to me?" Jacob raged at Laban. "I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me?" "It's not our custom here to marry off a younger daughter ahead of the firstborn," Laban replied. "But wait until the bridal week is over. Then we'll give you Rachel too, provided you promise to work another 7 years for me." So Jacob agreed to work 7 more years. A week after Jacob had married Leah, Laban gave him Rachel too. Laban gave Rachel a servant, Bilhah, to be her maid. So Jacob slept with Rachel too, and he loved her much more than Leah. He then stayed and worked for Laban the additional 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he enabled her to have children, but Rachel could not conceive. So Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me." She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. She named him Simeon, for she said, "The Lord heard that I was unloved and gave me another son." Then she became pregnant a third time and gave birth to another son. His name was Levi, for she said, "Surely this time my husband will feel affection for me, since I have given him 3 sons. Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. She named him Judah, for she said, "Now I will praise the Lord." And she stopped having children. Man, what a story. We have Jacob and Esau. Jacob steals Esau's blessing, which is a big, huge deal. So much so that Isaac was even saying, "I don't have another blessing to give, and I already gave this one, and it has to stay." And it's interesting to me that the Lord still honored this blessing even though Jacob stole it. And so then we go down and we read that Jacob is now searching for a wife, and he's about to marry his cousin. And what is interesting to me is that Laban in the very beginning never says, "Hey, this is our custom. We marry off our oldest," and kind of going down the line, "we don't marry off our youngest first," which I'm not sure exactly why that is. To me, it seems more of like kind of like a blessing thing, maybe in the same regards, but I'm not 100% sure there. And so then we have, like, we don't have that upright communication. And I think that if he were to have said that, I don't even know what would have happened. It's probably some like revolt, maybe some like secret conniving thing. Maybe like he tries to convince Rebecca to run away with him. I have no idea what would have happened. But Laban's not taking a chance. So he's like, "You're going to work for me for 7 years, which is such a long time. Such a long time. I'm like, man, I was, Ben and I dated for 14 months, and that felt like a lifetime to me. So let alone 7 years. Ooh, that's such a long time. And so, but to him, it seemed like a couple of days because he was so in love with her, blah, blah, blah. And then he, I'm like, you guys must be have like no lights in that tent for you to not even notice who you're sleeping with. But I digress. Anyways, he gets up and he's like, LeBan, what the heck? Why didn't you tell me this? This is not what I agreed upon. I'm now married to some other woman that I don't love, which isn't his fault. Like, he doesn't love Leah. Like, Leah is another person. Like, we constantly find people in the story that are like in a wedge, like in this triangle of like, I didn't ask for this to happen, but now here's what's going on. And I, like, I'm just getting hurt from this. Like, we have Hagar and now we have Leah. And so Laban's like, okay, work for me another 7 years, but I'll give you Rebecca in a week. So that happens. And because the Lord sees that Leah is so unloved, she's able to have children and Rebecca's not. So we kind of have this weird theme almost of women being like the Lord literally closing women's wombs. And there will be a time when he'll open them back up. But it, like, scripturally speaking, it's the Lord who has this like under control. Like, it's him who's allowing and not allowing. And I don't know fully what that is, but it is something that I've noticed. Anyways, and so what's so crazy about the story is that to me, it seems like this is like a classic case of you reap what you sow. And so nothing bad has happened to Jacob since he stole Esau's birthright and his blessing. So here's kind of like, I don't believe in karma, and I don't believe in, like, you know, what goes around comes around, or that you get something bad if you do something bad. I think you reap what you sow. And what he was planting was seeds of deceit and being conniving and being manipulative and just being awful. And so now that has fallen back on him. Right? Like, this is exactly what he has sown. He's now reaping his harvest. The seeds that he planted, he stole his brother's birthright and now his blessing. And now he's in a situation where he's has two wives in a year. And now he's having four sons with one woman that he doesn't love. And he has this other wife who he loves. And now she's not able to conceive. Kind of a heap of a mess of a story, if you ask me. And so kind of just stepping back from the story, like, what's the takeaway here? I think first and foremost, understanding that, one, the Lord is who he says he is. And that blessing meant something. And we'll continue on the story and we'll really see that blessing come to fruition. But we also see this story, if we go backwards, that the Lord is still keeping his promise to Abraham, who's no longer alive anymore. And so we see the first time referencing the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. Now we have Jacob. So it's three generations now of this promise and this covenant and this blessing, which I'm like, man, all along, birthright speaking, it was supposed to be Esau, but Jacob stole that. And so things are getting switched around. And so we have imperfect people living out God's blessing. We have imperfect people who are willing to steal things that are not theirs and to do some pretty awful things, all for the sake of what? What advancement do you get here? I mean, a birthright and a blessing, that's a pretty big deal. But this is also a tricky situation because they're twins. So I think they probably were scratching their heads of like, how do we do this? Oh, let's just do it to where, you know, whoever was born first. Okay, well, sure, you guys kind of have the same birthday, but it's literally who was born first. So we just kind of have a pretty messy story. But we see that the Lord is sovereign, even in the midst of, you know, a switch of plans. And do I think the Lord knew it was going to happen? I'm not entirely sure. I think we can all ask him when we get there. But I do know that the Bible clearly, we're 21 days into reading the Bible and we're just in the first book. We've completed the book of Job and now we're in Genesis. We consistently see the Lord making covenants and promises and he's faithful to them. And we see his people consistently over and over again, missing the mark, messing up, doing something pretty awful, reaping what they're sowing and kind of hitting them in the face, but also the Lord still meeting with them and still saying, ah, okay, I'm gonna fulfill this. And I would like you to be committed to this and to be faithful. And so we see that God is a God who knows when enough is enough. And he also knows, if we were made in his image and he calls us good, then he has an understanding that we're going to get things wrong and we're not going to be perfect. And the great thing is he never said, great, so here's the conditions of my covenant with you, is that you cannot be without, like you cannot be with sin at all. You have to be perfect. No, what he's saying is, I need you and I need you to be committed to the process. And of course we read these, like us people, we can relate to this. We aren't committed. We're committed to seeing ourselves through. And then when we get an ounce of doubt, we're like, screw it. And so the Bible really is so many tales of, not tales as a fiction, but like tales, stories, testimonies, whatever word you want to use. I believe these stories happen. They're events that have occurred that we can relate to in one aspect or another. Look, I don't know what it's like to be deceived and get married twice. I don't know that. I can't relate to that, but I can relate to the Lord asking me to do something and me trying to find a different way to make it happen. And so take away whatever you want from this story, but understand that we have a very kind God. And so Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's relatable. It's not something that we can read and feel overwhelmed with about where we need to get it right and how we can do better in an exhaustive way. I thank you that ultimately your word gives us hope that we can still be in covenant with you and be in communion with you. And I thank you that we read your story, your Bible, and we see you. We see your heart. We see your character. We are starting to have a better understanding of who you are. And I thank you, God, that the questions that come up, we can come to you with. You already know them. You already know what we're wrestling with, what we're thinking, what we're processing through. So I pray that we would be able to earnestly and humbly come before you and process them out with you. And I just thank you for your word, Lord, that restores our hope and gives us hope and an understanding that you are with us and that you are for us. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So it's day 15 of our 21-day fast. Phew, how's it going? It feels good. It feels like a healthy sprint, kind of like when you're starting to sweat and you're like, oh man, this is kind of uncomfortable, kind of want to be done, but I'm going to keep going because I know this is going to feel really good afterwards and during. But hopefully you have found a journal and you're journaling and, you know, you have just really sweet moments with the Lord. I know there's been so many times where, you know, I've been tempted just to like, oh, because out of habit, it's easy to grab my phone. Like for me personally, like it's really easy to just grab my phone and jump right into whatever social media app that I was just routinely grabbing. And I'm like, what am I actually looking for right now? Oh, I think I'm wanting connection. Okay. Well, what if I reached out to a friend or, man, I'm just kind of like looking, my mind is wandering. Okay. Well, maybe I should spend time with the Lord in prayer and ask what's really going on. I think this time for me has really allowed myself to just check in with myself and see how I'm doing and not be so overstimulated and overwhelmed. So you can go to facebook.com/dailyaudiobible.com and you can chat with others in there and see how, you know, they're doing in their fast and how people can come and support you and encourage you, and you can encourage and support others. And excited to kind of do a recap together after this is over. So very, very excited. But that is all for today. I'm Chyna. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, my name is Bianca. I'd like to ask for prayer for my mother. Her name is Maria Hernandez. She is in the hospital basically fighting for her life since Saturday. She went in for leg pain and it turned out that she had clogged arteries. And the doctor said he had to perform a life-saving surgery, which lasted 5 hours. It got complicated after that, and they were thinking that the blood had spread to her intestines since she was complaining of abdominal pain. But we started praying and we stood in faith, and a couple hours later the doctor came back and said they found nothing there, which praise God for that. But now they're talking about amputating her right leg on Monday, since she's not showing any movement there or any blood flow to the foot. But my mother is a woman of faith, and so are we. And we're just asking for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ to lift her up in prayer so that she can have a full recovery and there will be no need for the amputation. My mother's a person who's had a lot of health issues throughout the years, and the Lord has spared her life many times. And we believe that He can do a miracle with her leg as well. So please, please, please keep my mother in prayer. The doctors have not touched her leg yet, so that is a good indication that something is being done. I strongly feel that if it was severe enough, they would have already amputated. So the fact that we get an extra week just gives me some peace of mind that the Lord can still do a miracle there. Again, her name is Maria Hernandez. Thank you.
I'm calling in asking for a prayer for my son who has been incarcerated. He's made some bad choices in life and now he's paying for them. I just pray that you protect him while he's in there, and I pray that when he's in there, he receives the help he needs, that he reaches out to the Lord and finds him. Pray that when he comes out with more respect and empathy for society, and more importantly, a relationship with Jesus. And also pray to everyone that was involved in what he did, because there are other family members that are affected by this, and myself and my husband and my other son, who are just, it's been a burden and it's been really heavy on us. And I just pray that you give us comfort and give us the right words to speak to our son who's in jail, and just encourage him and make him aware of what has happened. And thank you so much for this.
Hi, DABC family. This is Rebecca, and I am listening this year with my sister, my twin sister Lydia, and my mom across the country. But I just wanted to call in and say that when I was 8, my dad gave me and my sister Lydia our first little teeny Bible. And he sat us down and we listened to DAB Kids with Chyna. And then the next year we listened to it with Max, and several years after that. And we're just feeling very full circle, because now we just turned 20 this week and we're listening to Chyna again and Jill. And it's been such an experience, and we've really, really enjoyed it for this first week, and the fast has been incredible so far. So it's just been a really good connecting point for the three of us. So we're just really blessed by this podcast and by this community. And we're thinking and praying for all of you. We listen to your requests. So just feeling very blessed.